Blog Talk Radio.
Name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Helder, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening in Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise be to God. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come glory, God is worthy.
Lord of hosts, your name alone was able to give David the confidence to approach a trained warrior nearly twice his size. Because of the power of your name, David did not hesitate to approach his enemy and defeat him. I give you honor and praise and full admiration, for you are worthy of all glory. You have the power to defeat the greatest and largest of opponents because you are Jehovah Tishbah, the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. Amen, amen, and amen.
Wonder the kind of clothes that he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. What will Jesus do? If Jesus walked the earth today, sometimes I wonder what he'd say. Would he lend a hand to help his fellow man? Would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray? Simply tell the Father thank you. And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? Some will ever see, and you're the only words of life some will ever read. Let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. Like you, what will Jesus do? So when you see a homeless man on the street, don't be
like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hand and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do?
Oh,
all to the glory of God. Jehovah Tishaba. King Saul tried to weigh David down with hundreds of pounds of armor because the king looked at the size of the enemy and saw sudden death. The Israelite soldiers were so afraid they refused to go out and face him themselves. It's easy to criticize them for not having the bravery of young David. But I admit, I sometimes shrink back from opposition that seems to loom large over me. Forgive my cowardice in the face of trouble, Jehovah Tishaba, for it is an affront to your power and sovereignty. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our Bible study, Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection.
Somebody lift your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Gives strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say. Come on, if you know he's awesome, say. Lift your voice. Forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify if you know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice. Come on if you believe it, lift your voice. Celebrate the arms of God.
Amen. Praise be to God, everybody. It is now time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, Only the Word. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Acts 17, verse 11 in the NIV, and it says, The Berean Jews were of more noble character, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scripture every day to see if what Paul said was true. Amen. The writer says, on what do you base what you believe? If you say the way you were raised or what a certain denomination, church, or pastor teaches, then your belief system could be faulty. Scripture needs to be the basis for the principles and doctrines you hold dear because it is the only true revelation of God. This is why I often say to read the word, because it is Christ alone who can truly lead, comfort, heal, convict, and instruct you. When you regularly study, you are tapping into his infinite wisdom, power, and direction. The Holy Spirit works through the Bible to reveal how he is actively involved in every aspect of your life and applies the truth to edify you. It is true that sometimes the word will be difficult to understand, but don't let that stop you. God is a good and able teacher. He will answer your questions, help you understand his truth, and show you how to apply his principles. He will also sniff through what you believe to show you what is man-made and unhelpful. So get into the word and expect him to speak to you. Amen. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for the power of your word. Help me understand it. Amen. Amen and amen. And that is our daily devotional message for this evening. Amen. Praise be to God. So at this time, I will play another selection.
Bread of life. Down the glory, many think you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter,
the living word says now. Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us.
Great,
down from glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were. This is what we'd like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree you died to save man. The Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call you.
Somebody,
Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus,
oh,
Amen. Lord of hosts, Jehovah Tishbah, my enemies may come at me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. But I thank you for being greater still. I may be attacked by every side, but I thank you for surrounding all and being over all. Thank you for the power of your name, which gives me the courage and the confidence to stand in the face of what would normally frighten me. Because of you, I can boldly proclaim, as David did, that I come in the name of the Lord of hosts. Amen, amen, and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening in Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to call in. You can also call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. I hope and pray that you are enjoying our inspirational music. And at this time, it is time for our daily bread, and which is entitled Wise or Unwise. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17. And these verses deals with living by the Spirit's power. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. So Amen. The text for this message is coming from Ephesians 5 and 17, and it says, understand what the Lord's will is. Praise be to God. Again, the title, Wise or Unwise. The writer says, when I was 10, I brought home a cassette tape from a friend at youth group that contained music of a contemporary Christian band. My dad, who had been raised in a Hindu home, but had received salvation in Jesus, did not approve. He only wanted worship music played in our home. I explained it was a Christian band, but that didn't change his mind. After a while, he suggests that I listen to the songs for a week and then decide if they brought me closer to God or pushed me further away from him. There was some helpful wisdom in that advice. There are things in life that are clearly right or wrong. But many times we wrestle with disputable matters in Romans 14, 1 through 19. In deciding what to do, we can seek the wisdom found in Scripture. Paul encourages the Ephesians believers to be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, Ephesians 5 and 15. Like a good parent, Paul knew that he could not possibly be there or give instructions for every situation. If they were going to make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil, they were going to have a discern, they would have to discern for themselves and understand what the Lord's will is in verses 16 through 17. A life of wisdom is an invitation to pursue discernment and good decisions as God guides us even when we wrestle with what might be disputable. Amen. Praise be to God. Question. How can you determine what will be wise or foolish as you make decisions? And how can you seek God's guidance? Think about those two questions. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, cultivate a heart of wisdom in me. Enable me to live my life in a way that will always draw me closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our daily bread for this evening. At this time, I will play another selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this evening. Amen.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Every praise.
your hands and praise him now. He's worthy of the praise. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
Every praise belongs to God. Jehovah Teshuvah, go before me as I enter into battle. Just as you taught David to trust you when he killed the bear and the lion, help me to see where and how you are preparing me for the battles I will one day face. When I reach those battles, remind me that I have already overcome in other situations, and that just as you were with me then, you are with me now. Give me the courage of David to refuse the armor people try to give to me, and instead to take up the armor of your name. In that power, I can overcome anything. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
Fill me up, God. Fill me up.
Amen. Praise be to God. I pray that you enjoyed our inspirational music, our devotional message, and our prayers. Now it is time for our lesson, and at this time, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here to conduct our lesson in Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. And we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you. How are you this evening?
I'm here. I'm getting along. I thank God.
Amen.
Here and everything to do the lesson. I'm excited about it. And I'm just thankful to God to sort of get back to normal.
Amen.
Learning new skills with my left hand. I was able to do quite a bit of stuff with my left hand today.
You'll be surprised what you can do with that left hand.
Yes.
I said you could be surprised what you could do with that left hand.
I realized I could do quite a bit with the left hand, so I thank God for having two hands, two arms. When one is not working, I can definitely use the other one.
I had to train myself to use my left arm also. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Once you put your mind to it, you can do anything with God's help.
Amen to that. Amen. Okay, so we'll pray in because we're still in the book of Romans, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so let's pray in. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just want to magnify your name, Lord God, because you are worthy, Father, of all the glory. And I just want to thank you, Lord God, for getting me through that surgery, Lord God. And
yes, Lord.
Through the mix-up that occurred, Lord God, you were with me every step of the way. And I thank you for your healing power, Lord God, as I move through this journey. I thank you, Lord God, for everybody, Lord God. I thank you for Evangelist Hilda, Lord God, that she's so consistent, Lord God, with keeping up, Lord God, with this pray one for another, Lord God, and so that there is always an avenue, Lord God, to share your word, Lord God, with whoever is out there to hear it, Lord God. So I thank you, Father, for her, and I thank you for her diligence, Lord God, in this process, Lord God. And we just ask you, Father, to please be in the midst of this lesson, Lord God, that everything that is said and done is pleasing to you. Lord God, I want to say a special prayer, Lord God, for Virginia Griffin, Lord God, who's not doing very well, Lord God. She went back to the hospital, and she's in intensive care, Lord God. But, Father, we know that you are with her, too, every step of the way, Lord God.
Yes.
Put your arms around her and comfort her, Lord God, as she goes through this ordeal, Lord God, in her life. Mm-hmm. Also comfort her sisters, Lord God. And also put loving arms around Barbara, her dear, dear, dear friend for many, many years, Lord God, as she goes through this time in her life, Lord God. And we just thank you and praise you, Lord God, because we know that she is your child, and we know that you promised to be there with your children every step of the way. So we want to thank you right now in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Okay, so we at, did we do the revelation of the righteousness of God?
That's where we are.
That's where we are. Okay.
Yeah, we finished a survey of Romans, and then we stopped at the revelation of the righteousness of God. But we did
right.
it. But, you know, we got all the way down to the end of the page. And, Jesus, there's a lot of scriptures.
Right, right, right. Because they were scriptures 1 through 8. And so we saw that the prologue was chapter 1:1-17. Mm-hmm. And that consisted of the salutations and 1 through 7. A statement of Paul's desire to minister to Rome. And we see that in verses 8 through 15. And the theme of the book, which is in chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, which reads, the theme of the book is, and I'll read it, is basically, and this is Paul's theme throughout, which says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first and also to the Greeks. For the righteousness of God is revealed in it from faith to faith, just as it is written, but the one who is righteous by faith will live. I mean, that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the
Amen.
Our motto, each and every one of our motto. Right?
Amen.
So.
That's right. Absolutely. Not ashamed. Call on the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Without him,
Amen.
We cannot make it.
We can't make it. And we better let it be known.
Yes.
So this two verses theme is the basic text of Romans because it combines the three crucial concepts of salvation, righteousness, and faith.
Mm-hmm.
So salvation, a believer who is saved from the penalty of sin past,
mm-hmm.
the power of sin present,
mm-hmm.
and the presence of sin future.
Amen.
And he is saved to a new position,
that's
a
right.
new life,
mm-hmm.
and an into God's heavenly presence.
Woo.
That's what saved for
God.
Your past sins, saved for your present sins, and
yes.
saved for your
future sins.
Yes.
Mm-mm.
And then righteousness. This speaks of perfect conformity to an unchanging standard.
Mm.
This is where the sinner who trusts in Christ
mm-hmm.
receives the righteousness of Christ in his position before God.
Mm-hmm.
So when we receive Jesus Christ, we are viewed before God. Our position before God is righteous.
Yes.
We're considered called righteous.
Mm-hmm.
And our faith as the instrumentality of salvation.
Yes.
And the gracious gift of God. Faith includes an acknowledgement of need and a trust in Christ alone for salvation. So faith is knowing that only through Christ can we be saved. And we have faith in knowing that because
mm-hmm.
we believe in Christ,
yes,
that we are saved, that our salvation,
Amen.
And that's alone. Our salvation alone comes through our trust in Christ, period.
Amen. Yes. Mm. To God be the glory.
No added nothing.
Mm-mm.
And so we also see in chapter 1, 18 to chapter 3, 20, where Paul builds
mm-hmm.
a solid case for the condemnation of all people under the holy God. Paul's perceptive diagnosis of the human condition shows that Gentiles and Jews seek to justify themselves by using relative standards, not realizing that God's required standard is nothing short of perfection.
That's right.
Paul knows that the bad news, condemnation, must be understood before the good news, justification, can be appreciated. So the Gentiles are without excuse because they have suppressed the knowledge of God. They received from the from nature and from their own conscience. And we talked about that last week. Pastor preached on that last week. So verses 18 to 32, their seven-step regression is traced in verses 21 through 31, where we see let's read 21 to 31.
Okay.
And this is how their seven-step regression is traced. These are the Gentiles.
All right. So I'm reading from the New Living. Yes, they knew God, but they would not worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think of foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worship idols made to look like mere people and birds, animals, and reptiles. Yeah, they were foolish. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desire. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulge in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sex relations with women, they burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invented new ways of sinning, and they disobeyed their parents. They refused to understand, break their promise, are heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's just requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. And that, I tell you, Paul hit that right on the head, because that's exactly what they do, and they're still doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
They're still doing it up to this day.
Yeah, it's amazing how when people are so caught up in sin, right?
Uh-huh.
And no matter whatever that sin is, they want to encourage if you're not doing it, they'll be the first ones to encourage you to do it with them.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's how it usually, you find somebody, let's take something as simple as a person who steals.
Mm-hmm.
And you go somewhere with them. You innocent. You don't know nothing about stealing. And then they sit there and tell you, go ahead, take it. You want it? Take it. Just put it in your pocket.
Exactly.
Just go ahead.
Yep.
Just go ahead and put it in your pocket.
And my nephew did exactly the same thing. He went in the store with his friends, and his friends were stealing, and they told him, you take, just take it, put it in your pocket, and walk like you don't know nothing. Stupid kid. He went right along with them. So, of course, they got caught.
Yeah.
And right on down to Juby. And there goes my sister crying her eyes out. Why are you crying? You should have had your eyes on him.
But, every, situation, that's how my friend's son ended up getting life in prison. Same thing.
What?
But his was worse. It was a boy, because he was really out of control, so she had put him into a group home, right? Because she couldn't handle. And he goes with a friend of his, not a friend, but another guy in the group home, told him and another guy to come with him to his grandfather's house to pick up a cheat sheet. Grandfather said he was going to give him. They go right there in the same project where your sister lives. They go into the projects there, Wagner houses.
Yeah.
And apparently according to her son, is when they got to the house with him, the grandfather was up and beat to death. And the boy brought them back with him to help him take the TV out the house. Well, that's what they ended up, all of them ended up in prison with life.
Yeah, you guilty by association.
With life, yeah.
Even if you're innocent, but the fact remains is that you were there.
The boy said he blamed it on everybody. He said, we tied him up and beat him up. And my friend's son was saying, no, he was already tied up when we got there. And they were like,
the grandson was the one who beat up the grandfather and tied him up?
Apparently, yes. And then left.
And then he blamed all of the guys that he brought back to the house?
Yes.
That was pure wickedness. He was wicked.
Yes.
Wicked.
We're all going down together is what he said.
Exactly.
We're all going down. He said, if I'm going down, we all going down. Could you imagine?
Uh-huh. You got some people out here just like that.
Just wicked, and want to bring you into it.
Yes.
Yeah. So, God judges the Jews are also under condemnation of God.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul overcomes every objection they could raise to this conclusion when he, starting from chapter 2 to chapter 3, God judges according to the truth. And we see that in verse 2
Chapter 2, verses 2-5.
Yep.
Okay. 2-5 says, and we know that God in his justice will punish anyone who does such things. Since you judge others for doing these things, why do you think you can avoid God's judgment? When you do the same thing, don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that this kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? But because you are stubborn and refuse to turn away, turn from your sin, you are storing up terrible punishment for yourself. For a day of anger is coming when God's righteous judgment will be revealed.
Ooh. Yep.
Can you imagine that, on that day?
That's according to the truth. Now, according to works, it says that 6-10.
Okay.
Who will reward each one?
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about, so it goes from 5 where it says
6-10.
No, I mean, but it continues because we want to know. So it says, we're talking about God.
Okay.
And judges God, who will reward each one according to his work.
Mm.
To those by perseverance in good work, seek glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who act from selfish ambition and who disobey the truth, but who obey unrighteousness, wrath, and anger, there will be affliction and distress for every human being who does evil, of the Jew first and of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. And then peace and impartiality, and that's 11 through 16. Go ahead, Hilda.
Okay. For God does not show favoritism. No, he don't.
Mm-hmm.
When the Gentiles sin, they will be destroyed, even though they never had God's written law. And the Jews, who do have God's law, will be judged by that law when they fail to obey it. For merely listening to the law doesn't make us right with God. It is obeying the law that makes us right in his sight. Even Gentiles who do not have God's written law shows that they know his law when they instinctively obey it. Even without having heard it, they demonstrated that God's law is written in their hearts, for their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them or tell them they are doing right. And this is the message I proclaim, that the day is coming when God, through Christ Jesus, will judge everyone's secret life. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of us will be judged.
Yes. And both the moral and religious Jews fail to meet his standard.
Mm-hmm.
Paul concludes his discussion of the reasons for the guilt of the Jews by reminding them they do not obey the law, nor believe the oracles of God. The divine verdict is universal all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's 3:23. So Paul concludes and of the Jews by reminding them that they do not obey the law. And we see that in chapter 2, verses 17 through 29.
Okay.
Where, yeah.
Read it.
Yeah, please.
2:17 through 29:17. You who call yourselves Jews are relying on God's law, and you boast about your special relationship with him. You know what he wants. You know what is right because you have been taught his law. You are convinced that you are a guide for the blind and a light for people who are lost in darkness. You think you can instruct the ignorant and teach children the ways of God? For you are certain that God's law gives you complete knowledge and truth. Well then, if you teach others, why don't you teach yourself? You tell others not to steal, but do you steal? You say it is wrong to commit adultery, but do you commit adultery? You condemn idolatry, but do you use items stolen from pagan temples? You are so proud of knowing the law, but you dishonor God by breaking it. No wonder the scripture says the Gentiles blaspheme the name of God because of you. The Jewish ceremony of circumcision has value only if you obey God's law. But if you don't obey God's law, you are no better off than any uncircumcised Gentile. Well, I go up to 29, right? And if the Gentiles obey God's law, won't God declare them to be his own people? In fact, uncircumcised Gentiles who keep God's law will condemn you Jews who are circumcised and possess God's law but don't obey it. For you are not a true Jew just because you were born of Jewish parents or because you have gone through the ceremony of circumcision. No, a true Jew is one whose heart is right with God. And true circumcision is not merely obeying the letter of the law. Rather, it is a change of heart produced by God's Spirit. And a person with a changed heart seeks praise from God, not from people. Boy, I tell you, Paul stuck it to us so he's giving it to us straight. And if you don't understand that, then there's something wrong with you.
I know that's right. So I'm gonna stop here.
Okay.
Because my arm is hurting.
Okay, that's fine. So we're gonna stop. We did 2 to 17.
We stopped. So now we're gonna go. We'll start with the oracles of God. Where we're gonna do. Yeah, we stop right after this sentence. But then we're going to be chapter 3.
Oh, okay.
You know,
All
when
right.
we come so back.
I'll put a check there.
Put a check there.
Yeah, that's how I know where we be.
I'm glad.
Okay. I hope you feel better.
Thank you. I know I will.
Yeah, you know, it's going to take some time. But God is good. You're going to be all right. I mean, you know, I enjoyed the part that we did.
Yeah.
And I'll just finish us out with music.
Okay. Thank you.
Because I don't want to close it out. So I'll just play the music, and then I'll read some of the Walking in Grace.
Okay.
All right.
So
have a good night. And
thank you.
Get some rest, please. Rest yourself. Rest. You need rest. Utilize while you can. I didn't say no name. I just said you can. Okay. I love you.
All right.
Have a good night. Take your medicine, eat something, and go lay down. That's my prayer for the night for you.
Thank you. We'll do.
Okay, babe. So at this time, I will play another selection. Awesome Bread of Life.
Tuning in, and if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.
Pray One for Another. Throughout
my life, there have been many trials and tribulations, but there one thing I come to know without a doubt is that God can and God will. Therefore, I know I can always.
When you're feeling down, you need to know that there's a safe place you can go to share your despair. Fall down on your knees, they help to save your feet. Cast your cares on Him. Supply all your needs. Friends and family, they can walk away. But when you call on God, He'll come and save the day. He loves and cares for you, and He will see you through. You both can walk hand in
storm he would stand.
He's a bird.
Oh,
Jesus.
He
will lift you up and never let you down.
Oh, my deliverer, my healer. He will place your feet on solid ground. When you're feeling lost and you can't find your way, just seek the face of God and he'll show the way. Through all of your trials, you must trust and believe. I'm a witness that through faith and prayer, you shall receive. Through your faith, your eyes will be opened. Through the hope he is in the Father, he saved us for his own purpose.
Merciful and full of grace and grace. My role as a leader better recognize something like a preacher. From dust to dust, fall down to my knees. I wipe my slate clean from my mind. He's the rock that I always can lean on at all times. A name I can call on. Jesus.
Bob. What's up, dog? Yo, man, I heard, man, they were telling me that you ain't rolling with us. What's up with that? Listen, man, I'm over here, man. I got a C, man. Let's do this. Let's do this, bro. What up? Rob? Are you there?
you got it, baby. Say you provide the spirit.